Thank you for listening to the Fierce Audie podcast, where we talk about disability, quackery, parenting, and Jewish life. Hello, everybody. I think I got my technical difficulties dealt with now. My name is Aviva. I, alongside Emma Dalmain, Melissa Eaton, and many others, have been fighting against Miracle Mineral Solution or chlorine dioxide as a poison guised as a cure-all for a lot of different conditions, including autism, diabetes, and anything you can possibly think of. They think it cures everything, and the only reason anyone did anything is because non-disabled people were affected. Okay. So I have all four sentencing reports, all the documents from the court, thanks to Melissa Eaton grabbing them from the court's website, which I am going to read to you now. There is a good part of all four of them that are identical. So all the conditions of release and imprisonment are basically the same. So I'm going to read that now and then read off what the sentencing is. Okay. So in the United States District of Court on Southern Florida, it's in the Miami Division, which everybody knew that. In case number 121-CR-20242- Altanaga. United States Marshals number 13153-510. The defendant is sentenced as provided with the following of this judgment. The sentence is imposed pursuant to the Sentencing Reform Act of 1984. It is ordered that the defendant must notify the United States Attorney for this district within 30 days of any name change, residence, or mailing address until all fines, restitution, costs, and special assessments imposed by this judgment are fully paid. In order to pay restitution, the defendant must notify the court and United States Attorney of any material changes in economic circumstances. This was signed for all four defendants by the judge, Cecilia M. Altanaga. This was signed in yesterday. All four defendants are remanded to the custody of United States Marshal and committed to custody of the United States Bureau of Prisons for a determined amount of time, which I will read out each person separately. They all have the same conditions of supervised release. Upon release from imprisonment, the defendant shall be on supervised release for a term of 3 years. All four defendants got 3 years of supervised release, otherwise known as probation. Mandatory conditions. 1, you must not commit another federal, state, or local crime. 2, you must not unlawfully possess a controlled substance. 3, you must refrain from any unlawful use of a controlled substance. You must submit to one drug test within 15 days of release from imprisonment and at least 2 periodic drug tests thereafter, as determined by the court. 3, Four, you must make restitution in accordance with 18 United States Code 3663 and 3663A or any other statute authorizing a sentence of restitution. 5, you must cooperate in the collection of DNA as directed by the probation officer. They're going to love that. You must comply with the standard conditions that have been adopted by this court, as well as any additional conditions in the attached page. Here are the standard conditions of supervision. As part of your supervised release, you must comply with the following standard conditions of supervision. These conditions are imposed because they establish the basic expectations of your behavior while on supervision and identify the minimum tools needed by the probation officers to keep informed, report to the court about, and bring about improvements in your conduct and condition. 1. You must report to the probation office in the federal judicial district where you are authorized to reside within 72 hours of your release from imprisonment. Unless the probation officer instructs you to report to a different probation office or within a different time frame. 2. After initially reporting to the probation office, you will receive instructions from the court or the probation officer about how and when you must report to the probation officer, and you must report to the probation officer as instructed. 3. You must not knowingly leave federal judicial district where you are authorized to reside without first getting permission from the court. 4. You must answer truthfully the questions asked by your probation officer. 5. You must live in a place approved by the probation officer. If you plan to change where you live or anything about your living arrangements, such as people you live with, you must notify the probation office at least 10 days before the change. If notifying the probation officer in advance is not possible due to unanticipated circumstances, you must notify the probation officer within 72 hours of becoming aware of a change or expected change. 6. You must allow the probation officer to visit you at any time during at your home or elsewhere, and you must permit the probation officer to take any items prohibited by the conditions of your supervision that he or she observes in plain view. 7. You must work full time, at least 40 hours per week, at a lawful type of employment unless the court excuses you from doing so. If you do not have full-time employment, you must try to find full-time employment unless the court excuses you from doing so. If you plan to change where you work or anything about your work, such as your position or your job responsibilities, you must notify the probation officer at least 10 days before the change. If notifying the probation officer at least 10 days in advance is not possible due to anticipated circumstances, you must notify the probation officer within 72 hours of becoming aware of a change or expected change. 8. You must not communicate or interact with someone you know is engaged in criminal activity. If you know someone who has been convicted of a felony, you must not knowingly communicate or interact with that person without getting the permission of the probation officer. So they could be potentially each cut off from each other, which might not be such a bad thing. 9. If you are arrested or questioned by a law enforcement officer, you must notify the probation officer within 72 hours. 10. You must not own, possess, or have access to a firearm, ammunition, destructive device, or dangerous weapon. For example, anything designed or modified for the specific purpose of causing bodily injury or death to another person, such as nunchucks or tasers. I don't know why they use nunchucks as a example, but okay. 11. You must not act or make any agreement with law enforcement agencies, such as confidential human source or informant, without getting permission of the court. 12. If the probation officer determines that you pose a risk to another person, including an organization, the probation officer may require you to notify the person about the risk, and you must comply with that instruction. The probation officer may contact the person and confirm you have notified the person about the risk. 13. You must follow instruction of the probation officer related to the conditions of supervision. They all had to sign. A U.S. probation officer has instructed me on conditions specified by the court and has provided me with a written copy of this judgment containing these conditions. I understand additional information regarding these conditions is available at www.flsp.uscourts.gov. And then they have to sign. Here are the special conditions of their supervision. They all have the same. Employment requirement. The defendant shall maintain full-time legitimate employment and not be unemployed for a term more than 30 days unless excused for schooling, training, or other acceptable reasons. Further, the defendant shall provide documentation including but not limited to pay stubs, contractual agreements, W-2 and wage earning statements, and other documentation requested by the U.S. probation officer. Financial disclosure requirement. The defendant shall provide complete access to financial information, including disclosure of all business and personal finances, to the U.S. probation officer. No new debt restriction. The defendant shall not apply for, solicit, or incur any further debt, including but not limited to loans, lines of credit, or credit card changes, either as principal or cosigner, as an individual, or through any corporate entity without first obtaining permission from the United States probation officer. So no credit cards, no car loans, none of that. Travel. The defendant may not travel outside the Southern District of Florida until the restitution has been paid in full. Unpaid restitution fines or special assessments. If the defendant has any unpaid amount of restitutions, fines, or special assessments, the defendant shall notify the probation officer of any material changes in the defendant's economic circumstances that might affect the defendant's ability to pay. Restitution with imprisonment. It is further ordered that the defendant shall pay restitution in the amount of $1,948. I believe they all except for one. Okay. No, that's all each individual. All right. So now we're going to get into the first defendant, who is Mark Scott Grennan. He is the one who started all of this. He started this with Jim Humble, who said he discovered chlorine dioxide as a cure for malaria. Yeah. Okay. I am going to start with his, he was found guilty of conspiracy to defraud and commit offense to the United States. And the only reason he is only found guilty of count one is a technicality from the extradition treaty with Colombia. They initially charged him with the other two, but they were forced to drop those charges due to the treaty. So he was only sentenced to 60 months in jail or in a federal prison. The criminal monetary penalties he incurred were special assessment of $100, restitution of $1,948, and fine of $5,000. Restitution with imprisonment. It is further ordered that the defendant shall pay a restitution amount of $1,948. During the period of incarceration, the payment shall be made as following. One, if the defendant earns wages in the federal prison industry's Unicorn job, then the defendant must pay 50% of the wages earned towards financial obligation imposed by this judgment in a criminal case. Two, the defendant does not work in a Unicor job, then the defendant must pay a minimum of $50 per quarter toward the financial obligations imposed in this order. Upon release of incarceration, the defendant shall pay restitution at a rate of 15% of monthly gross earnings, until such time as the court may alter the payment schedule in the interest of justice. The U.S. Bureau of Prisons, U.S. Probation Office, U.S. Attorney's Office shall monitor the payment of restitution and report to the court of any material change in the defendant's ability to pay. These payments do not preclude the government from using other assets or income of the defendant to satisfy restitution obligations. So the schedule of payments is that he has to pay a lump sum payment of $100 due immediately. The fine is payable to over the term of the supervised release. The $5,000 he has to pay over the time that he's on probation. And he is to pay that to the clerk's office. Unless the court has expressly ordered otherwise, this judgment imposed imprisonment's payment of criminal monetary penalties during this imprisonment. All criminal monetary penalties, except those paid through a Federal Bureau of Prisons Inmate Financial Responsibilities Program, are made to the clerk of court. The defendant shall receive credit for all payments previously made towards criminal activity, towards any criminal monetary penalties imposed. The restitution in the amount of $1,948 is joint and several with the co-defendant. So they all have to pay the $1,948. Forfeiture of the defendant's right, title, and interest in certain properties hereby ordered consistent with the plea agreement. If there is to be forfeiture, the United States shall submit a proposed order of forfeiture within 3 days of the proceedings. The payments are always paid in the following order. 1. Assessment. 2. Restitutional principal. 3. Restitution interest. 4. AVAA assessment. 5. Fine principal. 6. Fine interest. 7. Community restitution. 8. JVTA assessment. 9. Penalties. And 10. Costs, including the cost of prosecution and court costs. So that was Mark Grennan. We have Jordan Grennan, who was sentenced to a $300 special assessment, $1,948 restitution, and a fine of $2,500 with the same terms. Jonathan David Grennan was found guilty of conspiracy to defraud and to commit offenses against the United States, criminal contempt and temporary restraining order, and criminal contempt preliminary injunction. So they all, Jordan and Jonathan, were found guilty of those three crimes because they were not in Colombia hiding from prosecution. They were not in violation of the treaty when it came to those two, but for Joseph and Mark, they were. So he was also put in jail for 60 months for count one and 91 months for each of count two and three concurrently, which is 151 months, which is 12 and a half years. Same conditions of release, same conditions of supervision, same special conditions of supervision. Criminal monetary penalties. So he was charged with, he was sentenced with an assessment of $300, restitution of $1,948, but he wasn't sentenced with a fine. I don't know why, but that's the way it was. He's same conditions. He has 3 years of probation with the same conditions. Joseph was only found guilty of conspiracy to defraud and to commit offenses against the United States. That's because he was one of the ones in Colombia, and it's due to a technicality. He, because of the treaty between the United States and Colombia, he was not able to be charged with the other two crimes as much as they wanted to. He is also only serving 60 months or 3 years in prison. Same conditions of supervision, same special conditions of supervision. The criminal monetary penalties for Joseph are assessment of $100, restitution of $1,948, and no fine. Same payment schedule, same everything. And we have one more. We did Jordan, we did Jonathan, Joseph. We didn't do Jordan. We did Jordan. Jonathan. No, we didn't do Jordan. Jordan's the last one we didn't do. I believe. Me just double check. Yep, it was Jordan. He was put in prison for 12 and a half years for all three counts. He has a special assessment of $300, a restitution of $1,948, and a fine of $2,500. So this has everything they have been sentenced with. I don't think it was enough. You can look at my TikTok to see what my full opinion was because I was quite angry. But the documents will be on my website in the blog post, which I will put in the description. And just so you know what we know, have a great day and don't stop fighting the good fight. Because it doesn't end with them. We still have Kerry Rivera. We still have Andreas Kalker. We still have, I can't think of the name, the one that's in Spain. They just charged the person in New Zealand. Like, it's happening all over the world. It does not stop with the Grennans. We will not stop until they are all brought to justice. Don't forget to subscribe or follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Facebook. Don't forget to subscribe or follow on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram. Keep on speaking your truth and never let your flame burn out. Thank you for listening.